It's good to see you, family of hope. If we haven't met before and you're new here, thank you for coming so much. You honor us by coming. And if we haven't met, my name is Scott, and one of the pastors that serves here. And we're just thrilled to be together. We sense in our hearts that God is up to something. He's up to something. And it's good. And we want to be up to what God's up to. We want to tune in. If you've been on the wrong channel, tune in. If reception has been fuzzy, tune in. He's speaking to his church. He wants to speak to us today while we're together. The great cry to the church in the book of Revelation is, if you've got ears, you got them? If you got ears, let's hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Not what Scott would say to the church, but what the Spirit would say to the church, what the Holy Spirit would say to the church. So he's speaking to us individually, and he's speaking to us together. And we felt this call as pastors and elders and leaders to call the church to prayer. And we kick off a very special 21 days today. On your seat was this card. I want you to take this with you, or maybe take a picture of the, just maybe that's where you'll carry it. If you're going to lose this, take a picture of it. So this is 21 days where we're going to pray together. And we've been in this series called Going Vertical for a few weeks now. If you're just tuning in and you've missed some of the messages, at least listen to the first message on the power of praying together. Something happens that multiplies the work of God's Spirit when people pray together, when two or three gather together, when a congregation lifts its voice together. And so we've been calling the church to prayer because we believe in a very real way that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to be poured out. We've been experiencing that. Last night we had an incredible pouring out of natural rain, if you were around, a natural pouring. And then when we finished the message, for about 2 hours, people just prayed and sought the face of God here, and the Holy Spirit poured out in a greater way on the inside of the building than the rain was pouring on the outside of the building. Come on, somebody. We can thank God for that. It's incredible. I posted a picture. If you're my Facebook friend, you should look it up. If you're not my Facebook friend, what's the problem? Why are we not friends? Why would we not be friends? But after several hours of prayer, my son-in-law was on his face before God over here. And my grandson, who's 3 years old, well, it's a great environment to have your kids in the presence of the Spirit of God. And my grandson wanders up, and kids imitate, so he sees Sebastian with his face right in the carpet. So he just gets his little face right in the carpet too, right beside him, because they imitate. And miraculously, he stayed there for 3 minutes. He doesn't do anything for 3 minutes. Nothing, nothing, nothing goes on for 3 minutes in his life. We're in this series called Going Vertical because we're calling our attention away from the horizontal and the mundane. As the old songwriter wrote, that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim, the horizontal, in the light of his glory and the light of his grace. So we're calling the church to look up. We're calling our hearts to look up in prayer. And so for 21 days, we're going to be concentrating together on these prayers. Today's prayer is praying for a spiritual awakening across our nation. Could I get an amen? A spiritual awakening across our nation. Today we're going to talk about praying 21 days. There's a man in the Bible called Daniel. He has an interesting story. He was a young man, probably a teenager, when a foreign army came from Babylon and raided his town, took his city, and took him captive, dragged him across the desert, out of his school, out of his culture, away from his faith, and tried to make him into a Babylonian, and he said, no, I'm for God. And he wouldn't compromise on his faith or his convictions. He said, I'm going to follow God, whatever you want to do. In fact, you want to throw me in a lion's den? Have at it. And they did. They threw him in a, you know why they threw him in a lion's den? Because he was absolutely dedicated to going vertical. Three times a day, you read it, chapter 6, verse 10, he would open his windows towards Jerusalem. He would get on his knees. He wasn't ashamed of his spiritual life. Everybody knew, oh, that's Daniel, he's a man of prayer. And they would open his windows, he would get on his knees, he would pray, he would give thanks to God. He would do that in the morning when he got up. People would see his windows, oh, there's Daniel. He's praying. That Daniel, he's praying. And they would hear him pray, because when your windows are open and you pray out loud, people hear you. And then at noontime, he would like open his windows again. Oh, there's Daniel. It's noontime prayer. And he would get on his knees and he would pray. Then in the evening, open his windows, get on his knees, give thanks to God. And he became one of the wisest men, even though he had lived in a foreign country. He became a statesman. He served under various kings. Nobody got rid of him because they wanted him to be around, because when you pray and you go vertical, you connect to the voice of heaven. And when you see things from heaven's perspective and with heaven's wisdom, life just becomes clearer, and other people want to tune into the wavelength that you're tuned into. And so they would say, Daniel, what do you think about this? And what about that? And he was an advisor to kings. We come this morning, though, to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we find that he is called to 21 days of prayer, as we've been calling the church to begin today, 21 days of prayer. And I know for some of you, that's a huge assignment. Some of you say, where do you find the motivation to pray three times a day? Where do you find the fuel to go 21 days in prayer? Well, Daniel had that fuel. Verse 1, it says that in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, who also was called Belteshazzar, had a vision. And if you have a pen or you're taking some notes, circle that word, vision. Daniel was known as a man of vision. And he understood that vision concerned the events that were certain to happen in the future. So it was a vision of things that were coming in the future, not all of them good. Some were times of war and great hardship. Let me point this out. When you have a big enough vision, it will compel you to prayer. Now, if you don't have a vision for your life, if there's nothing that challenges you, you can get by with not praying. But when you get a big enough vision of what God wants to do with your life, it will call you to prayer. Now, if you read the book of Daniel, which I encourage you to do, you find out that he had sort of mystical visions. And you could sit here and go, well, Scott, I've never had a vision, a spiritual vision. But I would really believe that you have had a vision. God has designed your mind to work in images and visions. For example, if I said, I'd like you for a moment to think about a rose. Think about a rose. You're not thinking about a paragraph description of what a rose is. You are seeing, right? You are seeing an image, a vision of a rose. How many of you see a red rose, a white rose, a purple rose, a pink rose, a fuchsia rose? Now, that is not a vision from God. That's a vision from Scott. I gave you an idea, an image formed in your mind. Now, here is how visions from God come. When our hearts are in tune with God, we've been singing, worshiping today. Did you hear the worship? The cry of worship? Open up my harp. There's a picture in the Bible of Jesus standing at your heart, the very center of your soul, and he's knocking. And he just says, open up. Our prayer is that everyone here listening today, anyone receiving this message over the internet, anyone that's receiving a recording of this message, our prayer is that you would open your heart to God through Jesus Christ. And when your heart is open to God and your mind is filled with God's word, when you ask for a vision, when you say, God, I'd like you to work in my family, show me what you'd like to do in my family. He's not going to download a paragraph description. He's going to show you your family in the future, what he wants to do in them. When Paxton was in the room last night, my 3-year-old grandson, I held him in my arms and I said, oh God, show me what you want to do in Paxton's life. And he showed me some things in an image or a vision, and I prayed those things, and I got desperate in my prayers. I held my little granddaughter and I said, Lord, what do you want to do? Show me what you want to do in her life. And he showed me things, and I got desperate in my prayer because I was filled with vision. Now, what does God want to do in your life? Even in the next 21 days, you can pray this prayer today. Lord, show me what you would like to do in my life in the next 21 days. And I promise you, you'll be better than you are right now. Because God is always pulling you. Vision always pulls you forward. You need to have a compelling vision that is bigger than you are, because that pushes you into God. And Daniel had a compelling vision. He saw destruction, as we said. He saw war. He saw hardship. But he also saw one that he called the Son of Man. And when you hear Jesus talking about his life, he calls himself the Son of Man, because Daniel may have seen hardship, he may have seen war, but he saw one coming called the Son of Man. He knew Messiah was on his way. Something bigger was at work, and he had a vision of it, and it compelled him. And it's so important you know where God wants to take you so that you get there. That was not rocket science, but someone has said, if you don't know where you're going, any road can get you there. But you won't be anywhere. Well, I guess you'll be there, wherever it is. A vision clarifies. What does God want to do in our church? Thank God for everything that's happened in the church. Thank God. All praise and honor be to Jesus Christ for every person who's been transformed, every person that's been baptized, every person that's been filled with the Holy Spirit, every person that's been healed. Thank God for all y'all. Thank God. Let's just give him thanks for that. But, we're not through yet. So what's the future look? What does your life individually look like in the next 3 to 5 years? You should ask God and have a compelling vision. What should this church look like in the next 3 to 5 years? What's going to happen? And get a compelling vision. Let him download an image, a vision into your mind, and hold that image when you pray, and pray as a visionary. This is not just for mystics. This is for everyone that can think of a rose. That's you. And that's me. So Daniel had an incredible vision of the future, and it compelled him to pray, especially for these 21 days. Not only did he have a strong vision, verse 2 tells us he had a strong, strong emotion, a strong feeling. And listen, prayer is not just intellectual. Prayer is not just theological. Prayer is not just the recitation of dead, dry words that mean nothing to your soul. A great prayer is born out of a great, deep well of emotion. And Daniel had it. Verse 2, when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been mourning. That's a deep emotion. I'd been mourning, and here's the 21 days. I'd been mourning deep in my soul. I was, and you know what mourning is? Mourning is a deep emotion that says something is not right. when you mourn. Something's been lost that I want to be part of. Something is not right. It is a deep emotion. And I would suggest to you, and I'd like you to think about this, I would suggest to you that some of the deepest and most powerful prayers come out of a deep well of mourning. Something's not right. When you pray for a prodigal, son or daughter or grandchild, there is a sense of mourning that should be deep in your soul because something's not right. And from that emotion, that deep emotion of something's not right, the pain of something not being right should put fuel in your prayers. For you to experience personal transformation like you have, or for this church to experience congregational or organizational change, this is true in the church world, the business world, personal growth and development, doesn't matter. This is a true, that you need to have the reward or the vision of the future, things that are getting better, the reward of what's coming, and you need to have the deep pain of leaving things like they are. A dissatisfaction. My marriage needs to change because I'm not staying the way it is right now. Something's got to change. And out of that deep sense that something's wrong comes a deep prayer that changes the future. So you have the deep pain that says it's not going to stay the way it is, and you have the God-given vision of what it could be. Good. Well, I thought there'd be same amens for good marriages in the house of God. Somebody would be for that. You have a son or a daughter or a grandchild that's far away from God. The pain should be motivation to your prayers. But at the same time, you're holding on to the vision of what's going to happen when they are a woman of God or a man of God and they're serving God in their generation. The pain pushes and the vision pulls. Daniel had them both going on for 21 days. Deeply mourning because things were not right. Deep emotion, things were not right. Things had to get better. So when we cast vision here, when we say, hey, there's something on our hearts, it's because we see the need as pastors and leaders, and we see the pain of leaving things as they are. And until you feel both of them, you don't change very much. We know that about you. For example, we've been like, thank you, all the people, and people have caught this. I want to compliment you. People have caught this. We've been visioning for additional parking. And I know you go, well, park, there was a spot. I saw a spot. I saw a spot. So you don't have the pain, but here's the pain. Let me show you. The pain is Easter Sunday when the single mother that you've been inviting for the last 6 months finally says, you know what, I'm going to go to church. And she's been invited so long, she knows, what's the name of that church that my friend goes to that they've been inviting me? Oh, it's Church of Hope, that's right. And then she's got to wrangle the kids up. And if you are a single parent, you know, especially if you ever decide to go to church, something happens. So she's got to get the kids loaded, get them in the car, get them semi-clothed. She drives, and not, she was planning to be a little early, but now she's a little late. She comes and she finds out on Easter a lot of people come to church. And they've developed Lakewood Ranch now, so it's five lanes, and we can't park on it anymore, which we used to, we come on Easter, we double park that road. We park that road. But she can't do that because it'll be illegal. And she drives on, and she drives up and down the aisles, up and down the aisles, up and down the aisles. And then she drives home. And for me, that does something deep in my soul. That's the pain that pushes me. This is okay, I'm gonna get a parking spot for her. Because I want her to find a parking spot. I want her to come in. I want her to meet the wonderful hospitality team. I want her to drop her children with the wonderful children's team. I want her to come in here with the wonderful worship team. And I want her to hear about Jesus. And I want her to open her heart to Jesus and have the transforming power of God released in her life. So for me, the vision of a transformed life pulls me forward, and the pain of someone missing it is a motivation. Until you feel both of those, only 19 spots left. I just dropped an advertisement into my message. I just dropped it in. Just dropped it in. That's true on any issue, anything that needs to be changed in your life. Jessica, you did not change until you had the pain and you said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm not going to live that way no more. That deep mourning pulled you, and then you had the vision that could be better. Because your friend who had been bugging you to come to church and bugging you to come to church, and I don't know why you're not sitting together today, but bugging, must be something wrong here. We'll have to work on that after. Bugging you to come to church, you finally came. And you had a future vision that your life could be better. So the pain pushed you and the vision pulled you. And here you are. That's why we're in operation, guys. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And Daniel had both of those things happening. The vision was pulling him. The pain was pushing him. And it brought him, watch this, it brought him to, watch this, a focus that comes through fasting. Let me talk about fasting and praying. Jesus said some answers, he's dealing with some dark spirits at one time. He said some answers only come with prayer and fasting. That's how we know that Jesus was someone that practiced fasting. And fasting is giving up something so that you can focus on something. When it comes to fasting and prayer, most often giving up food so that you can focus on prayer. And it happens in this passage of Scripture. For 21 days, and there's different ways to fast. Sometimes you can give up a portion of the day. Sometimes just fast. Okay, I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm going to focus on prayer. Sometimes I'm not going to eat food from sun up to sundown. I'm going to have a portion of my day to concentrate on prayer. Sometimes it's a partial fast of like, I'm going to fast this particular thing. And that's what's happening in what's called the Daniel fast. And there's this little verse in verse 3. And there's a lot of, there's a whole teachings about the Daniel. There's books. There's recipes. There's people that will tell you what the Daniel fast is. I'm going to tell you what it is. And don't listen. If you want to do some of the other stuff, you want to follow the person's recipe book, that's fine. But here is what the Bible says. Because some of you have heard about the Daniel fast. You can't have coffee. It's in the book. No, Daniel did not have coffee. Well, it's not in the Bible. So I'm going to loosen up on some things and teach you the overall principles of the Daniel fast. You ready? But the big idea is, for 21 days, I'd like all of us to be asking, Lord, what should I give up so I can focus? All of us should do that. And here are some things that Daniel gave up. It says, I ate no choice foods. That's broad. And I don't know what that means to you. Some people say no sugar. No. And if you had no sugar for 21 days, you would be a different person. I would say it's probably better. But I'm going to leave that with you and God. But it would, here's for me, every time I'm going to reach for a chocolate bar, If it's what I'm giving up, then I'm going to go, no, I'm focusing. It's going to remind me, oh, for 21 days, no, I'm focusing on prayer. Some people go on to say no starches because starches convert to sugar and they feel that would be a choice food. So no leaven, no breads, no, they put it in their cookbook. But it's only a verse. It's not a cookbook. Get the overall principles. Give up whatever would be a choice food for you. Give that up. Or meats. So some people say the Daniel fast is a vegetarian or a vegan fast. Other people say, no, the meats were only the meats that were given to idols. And that's what he didn't eat. But he did have Chick-fil-A. But not on the Lord's Day. Of course, not on the Lord's Day, because I'm just going to say, like, if you go vegetarian, that would be a change. So you'll be thinking, every time you go to eat, you'll be going, oh, I'm vegetarian this week. But for some of you, the idol part, the false god part, would be better for you to concentrate on. Some of you, you could go vegan or vegetarian in a heartbeat, but to fast Facebook for 21 days. Come on, now you're mad, Pastor. You've gone too far now. I didn't know this church was against Facebook. I'm not against Facebook. I don't know what that. I'm just saying, get the thing that you're going to remember. I'm giving this up. 21 days without television. I'm not saying that's what Daniel did. I know for sure he didn't do that. I'm going to do without that. So I ate no choice food. I had no meats. I had no wine. Now that's easy for me. I'm a teetotaler. I can do that. I did that last 21 days. I can do it the next 21 days. I don't even have to think about that one. But for you, no wine, no hard drink. I'm not going to do that for 21 days. Or no lotions. Okay, let me teach on lotions for a moment. Because this is literally what they do. They had an outward. They wanted, it was like to point them out as people that were fasting, so they wouldn't like lotion. They wouldn't. The grooming would be off. And people would say, you're not looking so good. And they would say, well, thanks for noticing. I'm fasting. Now, when Jesus came along, okay, I'm just going to lay Jesus on. Jesus said, stop that. Wash your face. It's not about what's going on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. So I'm going to add Jesus to the Daniel fast, and you can wear deodorant for the next 21 days. Come on, somebody. You can. And all the churches say amen to that. I'm just telling you, like, oh, thank God. I'm still going to come to church. Can you imagine? I just had a vision. What it would be like if we didn't have deodorant for 21. Let's stop that. Let's stop that right there. So let's just get into the mind of Daniel. So he has a vision of what God wants to do. He has a deep dissatisfaction, a mourning about things are. And he's decided he's going to focus on prayer for 21 days. That's what we're doing. And if your compelling vision is not there, I would hope today you would find time somewhere to say, God, give me a compelling vision that drives me to prayer. If you've been satisfied with the status quo, we just were singing a few moments ago, Lord, I want to go deeper. And that should be the cry of your soul, a deep emotion that I'm not deep enough with God. I will confess to you as your pastor, I am not deep enough with God. I want to go deeper. I want to understand. I want to love God more. That will focus me then for 21 days of doing without something, your Daniel fast. And let me promise you two things that are going to happen, for sure. A lot of things will happen, but I'm going to promise you two things that will happen. The first is that you will have greater understanding, or I'm going to say it like this, you'll have greater wisdom about life. Very interesting that after Daniel had prayed for 21 days and asked God for many answers, there are two things that we know happened for sure, and both of them happened inside Daniel, not outside Daniel. Oftentimes we pray for things to take place outside our lives, but what God is really transforming is our inside. And wisdom is an inner issue. Understanding. Here's what the angel of the Lord says in verse 12. An angel shows up, and reading from the angel manual says, do not be afraid. That's in the angel manual. When you meet a human being, first words out of your mouth, don't be afraid, or do not fear, or something like that. That's what angels are taught to say. Do not be afraid. Daniel, since the first day, or 21 days ago, when you started praying, and what was he praying for? Praying for understanding and praying in humility. When you brought that request, watch this, it was heard in heaven. When you pray on earth, it is heard in heaven. And I've come to give you an answer. Now watch this. This next verse shows us that Daniel received some wisdom, some insight, some understanding about what happens when you pray. And I'd like you to understand this, because what happened when Daniel prays is the same thing that happens when you pray. When you pray, it affects the spiritual atmosphere. It's not just your words going up to heaven. There is a kingdom of light on the earth and a kingdom of darkness. And there's a cataclysmic conflict going on. And your prayers are part of what is going on in that conflict. Here's the angel speaking in verse 13. I came with the answer 21 days ago, but a spirit prince, a spirit being called the Prince of Persia, blocked my way. So I was coming with an answer 21 days ago, but he opposed me. And so Michael is one of the big angels. Michael had to come down in this spiritual conflict. He's an archangel. And he came down to help me. So I left Michael up there with that Prince of Persia, and I've come down here to be with you, and I'm going back up there to engage. Here's what happens. When you pray in the heavenlies, things are shifting. This is one of the reasons why darkness opposes your prayer life. I'll promise you, the devil doesn't want you to pray. And it's why we all go, you know, maybe I should pray more. Because we all know we should. Is that feeling? Here's what we're praying for 21 days, that there will be a shifting in the spiritual atmosphere over this place. So whoever the Prince of Sarasota is, the Prince of Bradenton, the Prince of the Sun Coast, he will be defeated. And I would like to pray so big that Michael comes down and helps us. That's what I like. I like to pray that. Like Daniel's not doing a wimpy little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. He's going, oh God, he's calling out to God. And it's such a big prayer. Michael goes, I'm going to help. Have you prayed a prayer big enough that Michael comes to help? Just think about that. But there's a spiritual battle that goes on. I'd like the church to receive that information while we're talking about 21 days of prayer. That when you pray, you're praying for breakthrough in the heavenlies that will change the atmosphere and change culture on earth. And we've told you stories over the last few weeks about people of prayer that changed culture. There was a prophetic word that came out last night while we were together that this call of prayer is to bring a shift in the culture that we live in, and that God wants to use our church in the shift of culture. So it was right, it was somebody that doesn't usually come here, Sam and Vicky Farina, who are traveling ministers. They were here for some R&R. And Vicky, who you have to know, Vicky does not like get up and take a microphone, but Sam always takes a microphone. Vicky got up and took a microphone, and she gave a powerful prophetic word on the shift of culture. So we want to be wise to understand what God is doing. And the second thing that happens when you pray is you are strengthened. And God wants you to be strong. The enemy wants you to be weak. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll pray for 21 days with us, you are going to be strong. You are going to be, here's my prayer as your pastor and your friend. God, raise up prayer warriors who are unstoppable. Raise them up who are unstoppable. Daniel says in verse 19, after the angel says to Daniel, I should correct that. Again, he says, don't be afraid, because that's in the manual. I love this. I love that the angel, after 21 days, and he's been mourning his deep emotion, he says, oh, Daniel, I want you to know you are precious to God. Be at peace. I know you're stirred in your soul, you're stirred in your mourning. Be at peace. Be encouraged. Find courage. Be strong. And as he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt strong. That's how I know this is what's going to happen. As you pray, you will suddenly feel a new strength. I suddenly felt strong, and I said, Lord, I'm ready for you to download the information. Speak to me, because you have strengthened me. Can you hear what the Lord would say to you today as he breaks through into your life? Don't be afraid. Whatever you're facing, don't be afraid. Can you hear him say, you are precious to God? Peace, 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 peace. Be encouraged, because you are strong. You are unstoppable. And it's those kind of prayer warriors that change culture. So I've told you over the last few weeks some Bible stories. Daniel shifted culture in this story through prayer. And then I've told you some stories just out of history. Today's story out of history comes from a man named Jonathan Wesley, who was a man of fasting and prayer, and a man who shifted culture in his generation, and it still ripples to this day through the Methodist Church, through the Wesleyan Church. Here's a page from his journal. You want to see somebody who's unstoppable? Here's a page from Wesley's diary. May the 5th, Sunday morning, I went to preach at St. Anne's and was asked not to come back anymore. So Sunday night, he's still at it. Sunday night, I went and preached at St. John, and the deacon said, get out and stay out. But he's unstoppable. So the next Sunday, May the 12th, went to St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday night, he's still at it. May the 12th, Sunday night, preached at St. George's. Kicked out again. Sunday morning, May the 19th, preached on a street. And they ran me off that street. So Sunday night, I went to preach on another street and was kicked off that street. So May the 26th, I went and I preached in a meadow. And they turned a bull loose in the middle of the meeting. Ran us out. So June the 2nd, Sunday morning, I was up. What do you think he was doing? Come on. He's unstoppable. He's fasting. He's praying. Changing culture. Sunday morning, he's up praying, and I hope you got the interpretation to that. I preached on the edge of town, but got kicked off the highway. Sorry, you can't. It's a highway. So Sunday night, June the 2nd, he preached in a pasture, and 10,000 people came to hear him. Shifted culture. To shift culture, you have to be unstoppable. To shift culture, you have to stay vertical. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, from whence cometh your strength. To shift culture, there has to be a download of the Holy Spirit constantly in your life, giving you vision and dream that are born of the Spirit. And the world will never be the same if such a people arise. So we stand for prayer, please. Our prayer team is going to come and pray with people and for people in a moment. As we stand, we close our eyes and we open our hearts. If there's anyone in this room that's far away from God, you don't have to stay far away from God one more moment. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead in a prayer. It is a prayer of opening our lives and our hearts to Christ. God loves to hear this prayer. It's his favorite prayer to hear from the heart of a human soul. I'm going to pray it out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud so that all our hearts would be in unity, that we would have Jesus in our hearts. I always pray for 100% of the people to pray and to mean this. If you pray this from your heart, it'll start a transformation deep inside of you. Here's our prayer. I'm going to pray it out loud. Pray with a good, strong voice. Out loud, please, because God loves to hear your voice. And he says, believe in your heart, which we do, and confess with your mouth. So we lift our prayer and we say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of my sins and I turn away from them. And I turn towards you, Lord. Forgive me. I receive that forgiveness. I receive your love. I receive your mercy. Thank you, God, for never giving up on me. And I promise you, God, I'm never giving up on you. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a vision. Help me to pray for the next 21 days. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer. Yeah, it's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. Now, if you're coming to God for the first time or for the first time in a long time, it's essential you talk to one of our prayer team. Tell them, I prayed with Scott. But our prayer team is also here to pray for whatever the Holy Spirit has for you today, whatever gift of the Holy Spirit you need, whatever encouragement you need, whatever fear not you need. And we're here to pray together. There's also communion on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side. If you'd like to receive communion, you don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer or communion, just friend of Jesus. I'm going to pray this prayer that we're praying for today because we're together today and we're going to pray for a spiritual awakening across our nation. And I'm going to lead in the prayer. And after that, there's no other benediction. If you've been a guest here, thank you so much for coming. Please join us on this journey of faith together. If you're going to take this card with you, take it with you so you have it. Stick it somewhere where you'll see it and pray with us every day. The last week we're going to call prayer meetings. So don't just let me pray by myself. Lift your heart as well. You can agree. You can speak out loud in prayer. In fact, let's do it like this. Let's lift our voice. Let's call on the name of the Lord together for a spiritual awakening in our nation, and then I'll pray. Okay? So let's close our eyes. You just start to talk to God. Go ahead, talk out loud. Just call on the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord, do it. Our nation, come on, our nation needs God. Our nation, come on, call on the name of the Lord. Call on His, Lord, heal our land. Lord, we humble ourselves. Go ahead, we humble ourselves, God. Let God hear your voice. Call on the name of the Lord. He asks you, call on my name and I will show you great and mighty things. Lord, heal our land. Oh God, awaken our souls. Oh God, do your work, we pray. God, do your work. Do it, Lord, in our young sons and daughters, in our oldest senior citizens, God. Pour your Holy Spirit on our sons and our daughters, on our old and our young. Oh God. Oh God, turn the spiritual temperature up. Deliver us from lukewarmness. And Lord, send a heaven-sent revival of your Holy Spirit into our culture, into our world. Not for our glory, but for the glory of the Son of the living God. We pray, God, that you will do the unusual, the supernatural, the amazing. We ask, God, that you will use us in any way that pleases you. We dedicate ourselves. We commit ourselves, God, and pray, heal our nation. Heal our land. Start a revival that will sweep the world for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we can clap. We can clap our hands and say, thank you, God. So as we come to this moment, I want you to encourage you in a moment to come forward for prayer and come forward for communion. But before that, let's take this Bible position of prayer, which is just to open our hands, which is an outward sign of an inward hunger. This is a Bible position of prayer. And we open our hands and our hearts in just a fresh way before God, in a fresh way before God, in a fresh way before God, in Jesus' mighty name.